the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrents fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then fail to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makes the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willst, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salam, and welcome to this episode of today's special, by IRIB English Radio. The topic of today's special is about the importance of Hijra of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny.
Rasulullah, Habiballah, Rasulullah, Habiballah. Allah, our God, is the greatest, the one and only glory to him. He born in humans to be the best.
Today, Sunday, is the 26th of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 11th of Mehr, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is for blessing this moment. Listening to verse 97. Of chapter Nisa from the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الذين توفاهم الملائكة ظالمي أنفسهم قالوا فيما كنتم قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض. قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا.
Indeed, those whom the angels take in death while wronging themselves, the angels will say, "In what condition were you?" They will say, "We were oppressed in the land." The angels will say, "Was not the earth of Allah spacious enough for you to emigrate therein? For those, their refuge is hell, and evil it is as a destination."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The verse was revealed and counted guilty those who did not migrate and stayed in the environment of infidelity. The verse blamed them because they had wronged against themselves. Thus, it is obligatory to migrate from the center of infidelity and staying there to be a multitude of the soldiers of the disbelievers is unlawful. If you can change the circumstances of the environment, do it. Else you should migrate from there in order not to be called to account, because justification of faults will not be accepted.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love. And you showed that you're the one who cares the most. And to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, "Please save me, accept al-Habib." Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
Here we're speaking about the significance of Hijrah, migration of Prophet Muhammad to Medina, and that is not limited to the Islamic history or to Muslims. Hijra not only reshaped socially and politically the Arab Peninsula, but also had its impact on worldwide civilizations. Throughout the history of Islam, the migration was a transitional line between the two major areas, regarding to the message of Islam, the era of Mecca and the era of Medina. In this essence, this signified a transition from one phase to another. Transition from the position of weakness, where the non-believers of Mecca humiliated, tortured, and killed Muslims, to the position of strength. This is where Muslims were allowed to define themselves and were able to defeat their adversaries. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the emigration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. As we know, in world history, all prophets started promulgation of the divine messages, first and foremost, from their own communities. And as prophets received revelations, I mean divine revelations, in order first to guide their own communities, usually in their own communities, they were faced with many problems and difficulties. The Prophet of Islam, that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was no exception in this regard. Hence, we find that the close kins of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca started opposing him and imposing almost all sorts of restraints and problems and sanctions in his way to promulgate the Islamic religion. Because of this, we find that so long as the Prophet Muhammad's paternal uncle, so Abu Talib, was present, and his wife Khadija was present, when both of them were present, the infidels and pagans of Mecca couldn't do anything. I mean, couldn't do any harm to to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First and foremost, because Abu Talib was a powerful chief tribe in Mecca. Abu Talib was the head of the Quraysh tribe in Mecca, and most specifically that of Bani Hashim. And at the same time, Khadija was a wealthy widow of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we find that in that community, so long as Abu Talib and Khadija were alive, the pagans of Mecca couldn't do any harm to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, when both of these two powerful supports of the Prophet Muhammad passed away, the opponents of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided to kill him at night. Because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to leave Mecca in order to get rescued from the harms and conspiracies of the Meccan infidels and pagans.
Today is a special and speaking about timeless lessons from the Hijrah of Prophet Muhammad, his migration from Mecca to Medina. Allah is not in need of us. This is one lesson from this great Hijrah. Allah says that even if the believers do not aid the Prophet in circumstances when it is not really that difficult, then that is not an issue. Allah will aid his Prophet and his religion in ways that none can imagine. Everyone in Mecca expected the Prophet to be dead by the morning, and yet Allah saved him and took him to Medina. He did not need any army to protect him. The Prophet only needed Allah. It is a reminder to us that whenever we do something that is for the benefit of Islam, we are only helping ourselves. Allah's faith is not in need of us, and he will protect his faith and the legacy of his Prophet. We are in need of him, and whatever good we do is good for us. And Allah is as Samad. That means the one who is free from need, but everyone depends on him.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today
Now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
The Hijra of the Messenger of Allah from Mecca to Medina. This is today's special. Sometime passed after the incident of Taif, during which the Prophet would go to the small towns and villages, calling people to wake up to the truth of his message, to the truth of Islam. One of the most pleasant areas we may mention by name was the small town of Yathrib, which later came to be called as Madinatul Rasul, the town of the messenger. The inhabitants of Yathrib, who because of long years of bitter fighting with the people of Mecca, were obliged to live in very straitened circumstances. They joined the forces of Islam and swore that they would support the Prophet to the last drop of blood. The noble Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, took advantage of the situation and formed a military encampment of disarmed forces. The people of Mecca, especially its leaders, had slipped into a deep sleep, imagining that the Holy Prophet's mission had lost its impetus and would soon fade into obscurity. Sayyid Saleh al-Qazvini.
Rasulullah migrated, and the Quran speaks about migration. The first migration that the Muslims went to Ethiopia, to Abyssinia, they went before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But Rasulullah, he had to stay because he is a messenger and he is delivering a message. And the Quran describes to us how it wasn't only Rasulullah that migrated. Other prophets have also migrated. Allah describes how Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he migrated from Iraq to Jerusalem after they threw him in the fire and they tried to kill him. Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ رَبِّي هَبْلِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He left. He saw that staying in the place where he was, Prophet Ibrahim, he saw that it was stagnant. He couldn't do anything else. So he left. And Allah says, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُ. The land of Allah is vast. Go and travel. If you are not comfortable in one place, if you cannot practice your faith in one place, go and live somewhere else. So the prophets traveled. The prophets migrated. They left their lives behind them. And they went and they started in a new life. Who else migrated with Ibrahim? Lut, who was his nephew. فَآمَنَ لَهُ لُوطٌ وَقَالَ إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Lut also migrated with Ibrahim. And he went and he was a prophet of Allah. He went and he began to preach the message. Another person who also migrated and left his town and left the people that he knew was Prophet Musa alayhi salam. He left Egypt. Allah describes, فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. He didn't just migrate. He ran away. He was afraid because they were running after him. And similarly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he also had to migrate.
Dear friend, that was all for today's special. Inshallah, we visit each other, same time, same channel. Till then, may Allah keep all of you in safe and peace. Have a nice time.
Lost and hearts frozen from your Allah came a prophet chosen, blessed prophets Muhammad.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about a thought-provoking aphorism from Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him, the elder grandson and second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. One who lacks intelligence has no decorum, and one who lacks determination has no magnanimity, and one who has no modesty has no religion.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day, on IRIB English Radio. The Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the Imams alayhi as-salam, and we have clear traditions from Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, Imam Rida alayhi salam, and in this one that we will inshallah mention today from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, you know, made the day of Ashura and made the day of the 10th of Muharram a day of pure grief, a day of sadness, a day of, you know, crying, weeping, and remembrance. And this is something for many of us to pay attention to. For some of us, you know, I speak to myself, lack the understanding of the importance of the 10th of Muharram at times. We just see it as a normal day. Yes, we go, we do our azadari, and then we go and that's it, we finish, and then we get back to our lives the next day. No, it is important. In this tradition, it is mentioned that one of the companions of the Imam alayhi salam by the name of Abdullah ibn Sinan, was a very close companion of the Imam. There's many traditions from the Imam alayhi salam as well. He says that I entered upon my master, my Sayyidi, and I put myself in his presence. And it happened to be obviously the day of Ashura, it was the 10th of Muharram. And I found Imam Sadiq alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, and I found him pale. The Imam, obviously, he's putting himself in a realm that, you know, it is the reality of the 10th of Muharram. Obviously, it's a whole philosophical discussion, the concept of time, of, you know, the concept of the time of this realm compared to the realm of, for example, the imaginal world and the world of the intelligibles or the intellectual realm, and so on and so forth. But the Imam is attaching himself beyond the time of this realm. It is possible. He's taking himself to the reality of the day of Ashura. And this companion said, I found the Imam on that day of the day of Ashura, which is the 10th of this, you know, material world, if you want to call it. But the Imam may be probably in a different realm. He's seeing something else. And I found him pale and grief-stricken. And this is a very beautiful part. I found him in this state, and there were tears streaming from his eyes like falling pearls. That the Imam, alayhi salam, this is an Imam, the Imam who we attribute our fiqh and our jurisprudence to, the master of our school of thought, the person who has enabled us to live a religious life, he himself is crying like, you know, streaming pearls. For the event of Ashura, for the slaughter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who truly understand and who are able to enter upon the Imam of our time in such a state and to join him in these mornings and in the morning of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
The
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me. And Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Let's Recite the Quran. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for accepting our invitation, actually. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts, which are going to be presented to you. So, dear audience, stay tuned. Dear audience, today we are going to listen to a recitation from Juz 30 of the Noble Quran. Juz 30 includes 37 surahs, which begins with Suratul Naba, with 40 verses that was revealed in Mecca, and ends in Suratul Nas with 6 verses, which is the final surah of the Noble Quran. Almost all surahs of Juz 30 are short, and that is why memorization of this juz is considered as the first step for those who want to memorize the Noble Quran completely.
Brother Mahdi, one of the very beautiful surahs in Juz 30 is Suratul A'la, which means the Most High. It is narrated that the reciter of this surah will get the reward equal to 10 times the number of letters in the divine books that were revealed to the Holy Prophet, Prophet Ibrahim, and Prophet Musa.
Okay,
so, you know, Prophet Ibrahim had a book.
Yes.
And so did
Suhuf
Prophet
Ibrahim.
Suhuf Ibrahim wa Musa. This is the last verse of Surah Al-A'la. The scriptures of Prophet Muhammad, Prophet Ibrahim, and Prophet Musa. They would get 10 times the number of letters in these three heavenly books. And it said that in the hereafter, the reciter of this surah will enter paradise through whichever door he pleases.
Excellent.
And Imam Ali alayhi salam used to recite this surah often in his compulsory prayers. Suratul Fajr is another very famous surah in Juz 30 of the Holy Quran. And it said that it's revealed in the honor of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The final verses of this surah, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ اِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّةِ. These verses have been revealed in the honor of Imam Hussein. And whoever recites this surah, just like I said, it is the surah of Imam Hussein. That person will be in the company of Imam Hussein on the Day of Judgment. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his progeny, has said that the one who recites this surah, Allah will forgive his sins amounting to 10 times the number of people who recite this surah. And on the Day of Reckoning, he will have a shining light. Okay. And actually, in the Eid prayers, it's mustahab, it is recommended that you recite Suratul A'la in the first rak'at, and Surah Al-Shams in the second rak'at, or another way is to recite Surah Al-Shams in the first rak'at and Surah Al-Ghashiya in the second rak'at.
And by Eid, you mean Eid al-Fitr?
For Eid al-Adha, which is in the month of Dhul Hijjah, okay? And also Eid al-Fitr, which is the Eid after the holy month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's the first day of the month of Shawwal.
Okay, thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the recitation of Suratul Duha, as well as Suratul Sharh, which is also called Suratul Inshirah. Let's enjoy it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب صدق الله العلي العظيم.
كتاب الله كتاب الله كتاب
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of Suratul Duha as well as Suratul Inshirah. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about the tajweed points of these two surahs.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, before we start talking about the tajweed rules in these two surahs, it's worth mentioning that if you want to recite Suratul Duha in your wajib prayer, okay, the obligatory prayers, you have to recite Suratul Inshirah as well. It's as if these two are one surah, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to recite Suratul Duha in your prayer, after you finish reciting this surah, you have to begin Suratul Sharh. Otherwise, your prayer is not acceptable. We have a similar thing with respect to Suratul Fil and Suratul Quraysh. Okay? If you want to recite Suratul Fil in your prayer, you have to also recite Suratul Quraysh right after it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So there will be two bismillahs in your prayer. Okay, Wadduha. We have a Lod. Okay? The Lod has istitala. This is the most important characteristic of Lod.
And it's exclusive to this?
Yes, this is the only characteristic that makes Lod different from Law, other than the place of articulation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the attributes or the characteristics of these two letters, the only difference is istitala, which Lod has, and Law doesn't. So you have to pronounce Lod with a little bit of stretching the consonant, lengthening the consonant a little. This is the meaning of istitala.
It's a fricative, let's say.
Yes, it's a fricative. And there has to be also rahawa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even though most reciters, they pronounce Lod something similar to a dal with tafkhim. Okay,
mm-hmm.
We can't say that this is incorrect because the majority of reciters pronounce Lod in that way. But the best way of pronouncing Lod is like a letter of Rahawa, which is extremely difficult because of its place of articulation and also the istitala.
And by Rahawa, you mean we have to pronounce it softly.
Yes, exactly. The best way to pronounce Lod is to make the sides of the tongue adjacent to the upper molar teeth of that side of the tongue, and at the same time try to pronounce a dal but lightly, not like a plosive. Law, law, law. Okay. Verse 2 of Surah Al-Duha has a matulin in the word al-layl, wal-layli idha saja. We have a ya sakina preceded by a letter with a fatha. We have a diphthong.
That's right.
Okay. Verse 3, wama qala, qala. We have a qaf with fatha, so we have to pronounce it with tafkhim at the second highest level. Some might ask, how is it possible to pronounce a letter of istila at the second highest level and not at the highest level? The answer is that when you want to pronounce a letter of istila with fatha and with tafkhim at the second highest level, the shape of the lips is very important. Qala, you should not open the mouth vertically too much when pronouncing. For example, if you say wama qala qala, that's too much tafkhim. Wama qala
qala.
Yes.
And if you open your mouth vertically, the result is the highest level of tafkhim.
That's right, yes. Verse 4, we have an idgham, khayrul laka. We have idgham bila ghunna of nun sakina.
Into lam.
Yes, khayrul laka. So the nun sakina of the tanween is not pronounced. Instead, you have to pronounce the lam with tashdeed. Khayrul laka. The noon actually merges into the lam. It's like you want to pronounce the noon, but you don't pronounce the noon. Instead, you
pronounce one lam.
The lam, two lams.
No, one lam instead of noon, and one lam
yeah,
exists.
That's right, yeah, that's right. You pronounce one lam, and there's already another lam that exists. Five, fataru law. The Lord has to be pronounced with the highest level of tafkhim because it has aliful mad. Yajidika, we have qalqala of the dal. The dal has to be pronounced with qalqala, meaning right whenever the articulator of dal comes into contact with the place of articulation of dal, it has to quickly retract, come back, bounce back. Yajidika. If you say yajidka, yajidka, that's incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be quick. Yatiman fa'awa. We have ikhfa of nun sakina in this phrase. Okay, we have a nun sakina followed by the letter fa. And so we have to approximate the place of articulation of fa and at the same time make a nasal sound. Ghunna for two vowel counts.
That is actually oronasal.
What do we mean by approximation? We mean that you make, it's like you try to pronounce fa, but you don't pronounce fa. You hold it in the inclination stage where you want to pronounce the right before pronouncing that letter, and you hold the tongue,
the
actually the teeth, the articulator,
say.
In that position for two vowel counts, two vowel, just to nasal, nasalize. At the same time, you have to apply ghunna for two vowel counts.
That's right.
Yatiman fa'awa. Let's go on to the next surah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alam nashrah. This is really important. Nashrah. If you say nashrah, that's incorrect. There has to be, right when you pronounce the sheen, the tongue should quickly move on to the place of articulation of ra. Oh. There should be no sect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or, for example, we have, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكَّرَكْ ذِكَّرَكْ. If you say ذِكَّرَكْ, that's incorrect.
Okay, thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir, and don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, God bless you all, have a nice time and goodbye.
سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا من
التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
Your horse returns to our camp riderless.
أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي ورجاي.
The ocean of dua.
الإمام الحسين.
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves? Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
Bari'tu ila Allah wa ilaykum minhum wa min ashiya'ihim wa atba'ihim wa awliya'ihim Ya Aba Abdullah inni silmun liman salamakum حربون لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة.
Dear listeners, we were talking about this part of the radiant ziyara. يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم. O Aba Abdullah, surely I am at peace with he who is at peace with you, and at war with he who is at war with you. إلى يوم القيامة. Till the day of resurrection. So, in the previous program, we mentioned that how important it is to mention the name of Aba Abdullah, which is signifying the state of total submission and ubudiyyah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to Allah. So, calling him with this name and claiming loyalty is revealing a connection, meaning, since you are the submissive servant of the Almighty Allah, and you are his intermediary, I am also following you, so I am at war with those who are at war with you, and at peace with those who are at peace with you. So, this verse teaches us the peace and war that should be understood and interpreted in the light of submission to Allah. It means that we should be submissive to the will of Almighty Allah. So, peace in the sense of total unity and cooperation with the forces of kufr is completely meaningless. Ceasefire agreements, the like of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah and the Sulh al-Hasan alayhi salam, do not depict any kind of union and harmony between Islam and the forces opposing it. They are nothing but tactful strategies in favor of the epitomes of the truth. Nowhere in these ceasefire agreements you can see that the holy imams are stepping back from their positions. Even in the ceasefires of the Ahlul Bayt, you can see how explicitly they mention their stance against dhulm and kufr. Zuhri, revealing the great advantage of the truce of Hudaybiyah, says, "There was no victory greater than the truce of Hudaybiyah. Because the polytheists mixed with the Muslims and heard their speeches, as a result of which Islam settled in their hearts, and within a period of 3 years, many people accepted Islam." And it is exactly the same with the truce of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. it did not have any kind of harmony and submission with Muawiyah. The conditions of truce are vocal enough to endorse this truth. You may refer to many historical books in which this Sulhul Imam Hassan alayhi salam is reflected.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is, do not allow tyranny. Do not allow evil doing. Do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah. He appreciates Him. He understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, never Islam has made any kind of peace with any kind of evil force whatsoever. Peace with falsehood means harmony with falsehood. And harmony with falsehood means war with Islam. Whenever anyone observes any Islamic faction making peace with the forces opposed to Islam, we must be convicted that the faction is a pseudo-Islamic faction and not a truly Islamic one. Unless, however, there is a kind of ceasefire which does not depict any kind of complete harmony whatsoever. And this, what this part of the ziyarah is teaching us, is applicable to all our transactions, all our agreements, and the way we are living throughout our entire lives. For example, are we allowed to give a man or a woman who is not a Muslim and is from other religions the heading position of a community so he can rule over all the Muslims, where he can own all the benefits, all of the affairs of the Muslims? According to this part of the Radiant Ziyarah, never we are allowed to do so. So if we are truly from amongst the Zawar, the plural form of Zair, if we are truly reciting this Ziyarah and believe in it, we must say we are at peace with him who is at peace with you, and we are at war with who is at war with you. And this is a general and universal principle, since it says, إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, till the day of resurrection. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة.
تبكي ككل عام لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This man changed the world.
Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar. Allahu Akbar, Khomeini Rahbar.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
Shuma dar in qarn mojza kardi. ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر الله اکبر خمینی رهبر
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Exalted, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our program, The Man Who Changed the World. Of course, this program is dedicated to the memory of Imam Khomeini. May God bless his great soul. And it's about his life and times and his great personality. I'm your host for this program, Ijaz Hussain, and I'd first like to welcome my guest who on the program who is going to discuss this great personality with me, and that's Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, my good friend, and I'd like to say salam to him and welcome him to the program.
Alaykum salam rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. He's an Islamic scholar as well as an academic and a researcher as well. I think we're going to begin from, you know, our continuation, because this is like part two of what we were saying in our previous program, which was about the Bakhtiar government and about the fact that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, was like a lion, right? In
yes.
terms of, you know, you talked about the throffer that was given by the American government at the time.
Threat and offer.
And, you know, Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, comes out with the fatwa for a jihad against the U.S., which was something that, you know, they hadn't come across. They were completely...
No, it was, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, basically, and this goes back to, you know, we mentioned in the previous program that Supreme Leader recently was talking about Imam.
Sure.
And we had the quote,